Hi friends, it's Octavia from Tavinda Media. It's support from listeners like you that help us continue creating great content. Head over to patreon.com/Tavinda Media to join one of our patron tiers. The first tier, High Five, is a $1 per month subscription. That's right, all of this goodness for less than your daily cup of coffee. Email me at octavia@tavindamedia.com to get a personal thank you shout out on one of our shows. Just let me know which show you're supporting and whose name to mention. Check out our other patron tiers and great incentives at patreon.com/tavindamedia. That's patreon.com/tavindamedia.
Hi, this is Nan.
This is Octavia.
And we are
Stalled. Should we do that in harmony? Pick a note.
Stalled.
Wait a minute. Nope, I didn't find it. I was gonna pick a third. It's just gone now.
maybe next week.
We should practice. We should be like the lovely Boylan sisters. Yes. And we should be like, we're
so.
Right?
Nailed it.
You know what else I realized that we should probably start doing? Like, we introduce ourselves and we introduce the show.
Yeah.
But I heard somewhere that you should also tell what your show is about every episode.
Oh, for new listeners?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to tell them what we're about, man?
Hey, new people. This is Stalled, and this is what we're about. We are two wannabe best-selling authors talking mm-hmm. about our daily, well, weekly, little wins and big goals in developing our writing careers.
Yeah.
Was that good? Was that concise?
That was beautiful. I think that you really captured what we're doing. I think... people will be well acquainted with us after those few short words.
And also the name is kind of like a play on a different show that we heard of. So
it was unfortunately your first podcast ever at my suggestion, and I feel like I'll never forgive myself.
It's okay, because look at all the amazing things we're doing right now because of that.
True. Very true.
So it was a wonderful serendipitous moment of this is not accurate.
Yeah. So we heard this podcast where a well-known screenwriter decided to write a book and a children's fantasy novel and wrote like a few pages and got an agent and a publisher and like movie rights all within a very, very short period.
I feel like
it
was like 2 weeks.
Yeah. He got referred to an agent from his agent that he used for screenwriting, and it just all snowballed and it left both of us feeling very so many feelings.
And it wasn't a feeling of jealousy. It was a feeling of like, this is misleading because even though he's never written a novel before, he's still incredibly privileged. And the average wannabe author does not start out there.
Right.
So this is supposed to be your reality check for the average creative that's trying to get discovered.
Right. Two people who don't have any industry contacts, who are doing the best we can with the talents that we have and the stories that we've written, and a whole lot of big dreams. We're little girls with a whole bunch of big dreams.
Little girls with big dreams. Oh man. Speaking of girls with dreams, I feel like we need to say this, and we briefly chatted about this. This is not a surprise to Nan, but I do feel like we need to talk about girls in this world for just a minute. Today that we're recording, not the day that you're hearing it, but the day that we're recording is the day of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah.
And my whole world feels very heavy, and it feels very, it feels like a sauna, but without it feeling good. It just feels like heavy and thick and uncomfortable. It feels like, I don't know, it's unsettling. I'm a victim of multiple sexual assaults, which sounds weird. And I'm not going to go into my Me Too story. I'm not going to give details. I'm not going to name names right now. But I will say I have not been raped. I'm not going to cheapen any woman that was violently raped in that way. But I have been in situations where my body has been violated, where my clothes have been ripped, where I have been pinned down. And it's disgusting. What's the most disturbing to me in a very non-partisan, non-political sort of way, this is very much a cultural statement, is that when someone says, this is what this person did to me, it doesn't matter when it took place. What is so bothersome for me about today is that it wasn't an immediate, we don't want this person associated with the highest court in this country. The reaction was, oh, well, maybe let's talk about it. Maybe it wasn't that bad. No, it shouldn't be up for debate. The minute someone accuses him, he should no longer be eligible even for discussion. And I think that's what's so frustrating for a lot of women, whether you're a victim or a survivor or you know, you've experienced this or not. It's not whether or not it happened. It's that he's still being considered in spite of.
Yeah.
And that makes all of us feel very, questions our value in this country.
For sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I, like you, I'm also a victim, also not really interested in going into the details of that, but, I don't know about you, but I've spent any free time I have today talking to other survivors, and it's just such a hard day for all of us. And what is happening in this country now is the exact reason why women don't report. And
exactly.
It's just a terrible feeling, and you know, having the people say, why didn't you report? Well, this is the reason. This is exactly why. We thought that we wouldn't be believed. We thought we would not be respected. We thought that we would come under attack. And you've proven us right. Mm-hmm. And it's disgusting. And there's just no place for this anymore. And I think we're all really fed up. And I have spent the last several weeks just reading people's, anytime I'm on social media, you can't get on social media without seeing somebody's story, a new person's story, a woman that you've known maybe all your life and never knew.
Read three today on Facebook where people said, this is the first time that I've ever said this publicly. And I wrote it 5 different times. I deleted it 5 different times, but now I feel like I have to say it. This, you know, this thing happened to me, and anybody who's going to stay friends with this person, or, you know, it's just, it's awful. It's awful that we have this secret, like sisterhood of this experience.
Yeah.
And it's really discouraging. And then it makes me wonder if these incidents were happening so frequently to all of the cishet white males that still run our government, if these experiences were theirs, would they still be treating our experiences the same way? And absolutely not.
Of course not. And we can see that even just from, you know, reproductive health is a great example of that, because the same people who want to take away a woman's right to choose are the ones who make Viagra easily readable for them.
Right. Yeah, I saw a meme on Facebook the other day. Someone shared a thing that said, like, it was some ridiculous, stupid scenario that was supposed to be a discussion starter, but uh-huh. it was something like, your man cheated, the woman got pregnant, she doesn't want the baby, he wants to adopt, what are you going to do? And I was like, what do you mean, what am I going to do? She said she didn't want the baby. Why, right. why are we still assuming that she's going to give up her entire life? Because even if you give up a child for adoption, your life is still changed. Your body doesn't just magically recover from having a child.
Right.
So her life will completely change. And even in this fictional discussion starter statement, I was already so upset because the assumption is just because the man wants to adopt this child that now the woman is going to put her entire life right. on hold to birth this kid for him. I was yeah. like, the cheating now isn't the issue.
Right.
right. The cheating isn't the issue here for me. The cheating is that you're assuming this fictional woman is still going to have a baby just because the man said he wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's just like that mindset where everyone kind of defaults to this acquiesce to the man's needs, or we have to keep the men happy, or this man felt insulted, so we need to retract and apologize, and now we're wrong. And mm-hmm. and I don't you know how much I struggle with tweeting, but I was on the Twitter today.
As we both do.
I tweeted today, like the most today than I have in the entire month of September probably. But I mean, like, again, I don't know this guy, Brett Kavanaugh, but it just seems like if he really is as noble and trustworthy as he wants everyone to believe he is, mm-hmm. the noble thing here would be to say, clearly, my character is in question. And if I'm going to be on the Supreme Court, I don't want anybody to wonder about what kind of choices and decisions I'm going to be making on behalf of this country. Please choose someone else that is more qualified, because you know, because this is bigger than me. He's not doing anything noble like that. He's still defending himself and saying, no, 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 I should be on the Supreme Court. Like, mm-hmm. no, no, you are already showing us that this is about you and not right. about this greater good.
Right. It's already an ego trip and you're not on the bench at all.
Exactly. Exactly. He's not even there yet. And it's just like, there's so many higher roads that anyone could have taken right now, and none of them are being taken, and it's so discouraging. So yeah. Survivors, we're with you. We see you. We love you. We believe you. And anyone who has, God bless you, come out unscathed, or any men listening that, you know, maybe aren't aware that you know someone who has gone through this. You do know someone. We all know someone. We're just not talking about it.
Yeah.
Just believe women. Believe women that say something felt weird and creepy and I didn't feel comfortable there. Believe brown people when they say that felt racist. Believe kids when they say they don't like the way somebody talked to them. Believe people when yeah. they say they're uncomfortable, when they say that something bad happened. Believe them. Don't question them. Just listen. And don't judge.
Listen, believe. And you don't even have to respond. And in some ways, if this is the first time that you're opening yourself up to thinking of these things or to listening to people who have these kinds of things to say, it's probably better that you don't, especially if you can't give any kind of support.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay to say, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But I love you and I believe you. That's plenty. That's yeah. enough.
That's
don't
enough.
Fix it. Just know that they're safe with you.
Right.
Yeah. I only reported one of these multiple incidences because I just felt so passionately about this most recent one. And the first question they asked me when I went to the police, I reported it 4 months after the incident, 5 months after. The first question the officer asked me was, why are you reporting this now? And I'm sure it was just a routine question. I'm sure it was just part of her job. But as soon as she asked that, I laughed and I almost walked out of there.
Yeah,
this is why I'm reporting this now, because I didn't want to feel how I'm feeling now, 5 months ago.
And it's especially the worst I have felt throughout all of this is when I have seen other women saying, people don't just wait 30 years and then say it, you know? And and I just went, I feel like, and maybe this is, I know that this isn't true, but I always feel like women expect that a man will not believe us, and we are pleasantly surprised when they do, or that they won't be support, like, maybe not that they won't believe us, but that they won't be as supportive as a woman would. And when I see other women not supporting women and trying to quiet their voices, it makes me, it sickens me.
Absolutely. My friend sent me a thing on Instagram today. Someone recorded the news of a bunch of white women somewhere. I don't know. I didn't read the caption. But they were just very passionately saying, oh, come on. We've all been groped. That's just what they do. It was high school. Get over it. It's just people. And just like totally diminishing this experience, totally giving everyone a pass, saying that women are too sensitive, saying boys will be boys. So he sent this to me and he was like, I'm so disgusted, Octavia. I don't know whether I want to throw up or curl up in a ball and cry on the floor. And I was like, you know what, honey, you can do both. You can cry in a ball on the floor and roll around in your vomit. You can do both of those, because that is so disgusting. And especially for them to go on national television. This was like MSNBC or something. It was, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, whatever, it doesn't matter. It was some major cable news network. And yeah, and they were just like, whatever, it's not a big deal. You know what? No, it is a big deal. And especially as a woman, if you don't know that, there's either something wrong with your own self-worth, or you are so privileged that it never happened to you. Right. And if it happened to you, you know, again, if it happened to her and she's still saying that, then that's a self-worth
issue. That's a self-worth issue.
Yeah, but if she somehow avoided this, she is so lucky and doesn't even know how privileged she is.
Right.
Just I mean, we could clearly do a whole tangential show about this, but I just felt like we had to say something and also acknowledge how if our voices sound different and maybe a little bit less enthusiastic today, that's probably why, because we're drained from just the world.
Yeah, it is. It's a heavy day, but we are here with you. We all stand with you, and we believe you. We believe you. We believe you.
We believe you. Absolutely.
So,
with that,
let us move on to our show.
And our show. So again, what we always do is we check in on our goals first. Let's see. Let me go to my goals page. Here it is. Okay, your goals were to print Broken Requiem and then keep working on your lexicon. How'd you do?
I continued to work on my lexicon. I did not print Broken Requiem again. As you know, I have had a few health issues this week.
Yeah.
I suffer from a few pretty severe vertigo attacks every year, to the point where, like, I'll be lying in bed, turn my head like a quarter of a turn, and get so dizzy that I'm just like uncontrollably vomiting. Not to get too graphic, because it's not, you know,
it's okay. I already talked about throwing up today.
So see, there you go. So I had been dealing with that for the better part of this week. So I did not do that because I've just kind of been on barely basic functional level.
Oh, you were doing what I told my friend to do. You were curled up in a ball throwing up. I'm sorry, that's not
exactly funny. No, I mean, you know, you have to laugh sometimes.
I love you. I'm sorry.
So I was dealing with that, so I did not get that printed out. My new goal is to do that tomorrow night, because I am like absolutely free. I have nothing going on, and you know what else would a party girl like me do on a Friday night but go and print my manuscript and get my red pens out. So
Sounds like a party to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you still had a very winning weekend. You did. You worked on the lexicon, and I'm so glad you're feeling better. I know it's not like there's no like immediate cure or fix, but I'm glad that you're functional again.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, also, and I will say, because I know that there have been times when you haven't done something that you wrote down as a goal, but you worked on something else. So I'm actually working on a new podcast. So I did a ton of work.
Yeah.
The new podcast.
I'm excited.
And so I'm not going to go into what, like, what it's going to be about yet, but I'll wait until it's a little closer to the time.
Okay. I can't wait. I won't spill the beans either, but...
Thanks. Keep those beans in the bag.
I will keep my beans in the bag.
Okay, thank you. So, but I did do a bunch of conceptual work on that over the weekend and have done some more practical work in terms of getting everything ironed out. So I'm really, really excited about it. So I guess technically if I had spent the time I used doing that, I probably could have gone and printed out my other
manuscript. That's okay. But, you know, no shame.
Thanks, man.
I feel like sometimes I feel like the weeks go so quickly.
Yeah. This definitely, I feel like I just, like, especially in weeks when something like, you know, like the vertigo happens, or like with what's happening today, like I just feel like I lost like 4 days of this week. I literally feel like this day was like 3 days.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. I did probably the most hurried work, but made a ton of progress with Dream, because I premiered Dream this week.
Yay.
And there were a couple little like hiccups along the way that I was working out. Mm-hmm. And one of them, for whatever reason, my home internet is ridiculously slow. So some things I couldn't even work on until I could take my home computer to like Starbucks or to my, you know, my office job, and then like get stuff done there as well and multitask.
It's so frustrating.
It's the weirdest thing. So I think I need to call my provider and see what's going on with that. It was like I did a ton of work, but I did not work. What's that cliche? Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
I feel like I was doing everything the most difficult way possible, but it still got done. And I think it's a very beautiful product, and
it is. It's just, I've listened to it twice already. I just thought it was so phenomenal.
It's like it's weird because like I don't love listening to my own voice, mm-hmm. but I do love listening to my own music. And like one of my favorite things, especially with cello, is just recording multiple lines over myself. And like, there are some times when my own music just moves me to tears, and like my music is saying the thing that I don't even have the words to express. And like that happened while I was recording this. And I was like, damn it, this is so good. Shit, Nancy, I can't stop swearing. Why
the hell can you not keep it together? And what's funny is I feel like in real life I am the one who probably swears more out of the two of us, but when we start recording, you, it's like you just can't help it.
Every episode, like since like the second one, I was just like, well, damn it.
The first episode, we're like, guys, you can totally let your kids listen to this because we will not swear.
And you know what it is? I haven't been practicing my fake swear words is what it is.
Oh, your mother fluffers.
Mother fluffer. I need to get those into my mouth.
Uh-huh.
So
get the fluffers into your mouth.
So that when it just comes ready to just spill out, I say dang it and fluff and sugar and apple. I need to do warm-up exercises for my good bad words.
Okay, that's good. Good Maybe bad do words. That for like 20 minutes before the show.
Mother my favorite, Fluffer.
My favorite non-swear word was when I stubbed my toe when Ben, when my older son was 2, and he's 12 now. I said, son of a biscuit. And he thought that was the funniest thing. He laughed for like 5 minutes.
That's and a good one.
Too, because so he took it literally. He's like, biscuits have babies?
I love it. That is the best thing ever. Son of a biscuit. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So we can add that into it too.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make one a like warm up poem.
Mother Fluffer and
Mother Fluffer, Mother Fluffer, Mother Fluffer.
Son of a biscuit. Son of a biscuit. Me name Mama Moo, Mother biscuit. Fluffer.
That's exactly what I need. I just need to practice.
Okay.
I don't know. I also read somewhere probably something fake that someone made up and put on the internet, and I'm taking it as the truth, is that
women with
potty mouths are smarter and more successful, studies show.
Okay, so I have read the thing. I basically live by this meme that says that creative and intelligent people swear more often, stay up way too late, and leave messes everywhere. I have taken that meme so to heart, and every time I see it, I'm like,
"I think that's in the Bible." Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's in the Bible.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think
in the book of things that are convenient truths for us.
Yeah, I have that version.
Same.
That's the version that I use. That one translation from that one book that they left out at the Council of Nicaea. Mm-hmm. I found it and I use it.
Perfect. Same.
Yeah. That's so accurate. I think it's truth too.
Same.
Because obviously it's both of us.
Yeah.
Yay. So great job on those goals and new not goal. Goal.
Okay.
I had continued editing volume 3, so that was a yes, because I was running into some errors with my cover, and I couldn't print my draft copy of my next book without the cover being perfect. And so Adobe Illustrator is really hard to self-teach, and I don't have time to watch YouTube University for it.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm kind of learning as I go. So I just tweaked everything and I tried to resize everything and it still wasn't working. It was like a tenth of an inch too short.
Oh.
No, not even. It was a sixth. Wait, oh, is that right?
Gosh.
No, wait. What's 2 decimal points in? 6 hundredths of an inch too short. It was measuring as 2.62 and it needed to be 10.68 inches. And because of that, it would not approve my thing. So finally, I realized that I was resizing the images and not the artboard. And the artboard is what defines the actual size of the final image.
Oh.
Yeah, right. So I finally figured that out 3 days later, and I went back and I edited that, and I finally fixed it. So it accepted my cover, and then I printed, I ordered that. So my volume 3 is going to be here next week.
Yay!
And I'm so excited, and I'm going to go through there with my, I don't edit in red. I edit in basically any other color. I have like teals and oranges. So I'm going to sit down with my correction pen, and I love that feeling of like holding my book in my hands. And I also really love collecting things. So like having this pretty little collection of like my pet books is so fulfilling and satisfying for me. So
I know you've said in the past that you, when you got the first volume of the Hibbleians, that you like keep that first volume as your pet in your purse. Do you do that with all your volumes? Because your purse is going to get heavy.
Yeah, it's kind of heavy.
So you have the first two in there now?
Uh-huh. So I have the first one. It's not officially the first one that I got because I had already adopted it as my pet copy, but then I went to an independent bookstore to actually go shopping. Mm-hmm. And then just I ended up randomly meeting the owner and we started chatting and I was like, actually, I would also like to know about like how what's your relationship with independent authors and how do you get their books? And so we had a great conversation. I ended up giving him my pet copy. So my original very first copy of that book is gone. But then the next wave that I ordered, I kept that one's definitely still in there and it's beautiful and like loved and kind of ratty edges and I love it. And then my volume two pet copy, because I print on demand through KDP, mm-hmm. and somehow they like cut it way too short. So I figured if there was one of those, if there's a volume two for me to keep, it would be the error copy. So all the formatting is great, but like in the machine, it's like they just chopped off an extra edge of it. Which is weird. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so that's that pet copy. And then my volume three pet copy will be this one that I'm going to get next week and edit.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I'm so excited. So, yay. So I did that one. I did finish Dream episode one, finished writing it, finished editing it, recorded it, and that is out there in the world. And
it's a triumph.
Yay. Thank you. I love it. So, yeah, check that out. And then I have Work on Hem, which I did not do, but here's my replacement win. I was digging up a children's story that I wrote about a dream to be one of my next dream episodes. And when I went looking for that, I wrote this down somewhere else in my handy notebook. I'm going to find this because I thought it was so interesting. Boo, 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 boo. Where are you? Little notes. Am I going the wrong way?
Little naughty boo, where are
you? Aha! No, I'm just kidding. I found that page, but that wasn't even the one I was looking. It doesn't have the thing I wanted. Here it is. Okay. So here's the thing that I thought was so interesting. So I found that story. The last time I edited it was 12/13/09.
Oh my God.
That's almost 10 years ago. And I did not look up the creation date because all this stuff is, I love the age that we're in for technology because like, it's just so easy to protect your intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And I love how like I can go into a Word document. I don't have the same computer that I used when I wrote it. I don't have the same instance of Word that I had when I wrote it. But because I uploaded everything to my Dropbox account, like it saved all of that, you know, digital impressions and whatever is, you know, imprinted on stuff when you create it. So I didn't look at the creation date, but it's so crazy to think that's almost 10 years ago that I wrote this story.
That is crazy.
And it's just been in my in my cloud. But so I found that was exciting. And then I kept having these flashbacks of something about the screen door slapping the door frame as it closed. And I was like, I remember just very vividly, like writing out how that sound is of an old screen door slapping the door when it shuts.
Yeah.
And I was like, did I read that somewhere and I loved it or did I write it? And I couldn't remember if I wrote this or if I read it. And I found it. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. There is a story that I wrote And this one, I did look up the date. I created it 3/10/2009 at 11:11 p.m. And the last time I edited this was April 6th, 2010. And so it's this story called Days Like This. And it is such a good story. And I forgot that I wrote it. I think I submitted it to like a Writer's Digest competition for something. I think it was a short story competition. Uh-huh. It's only like 1,800 words. And I haven't finished reading it. But as soon as I started reading it, I remembered what a, it was just, it was one of my typical like sci-fi overlapping worlds endings. And I absolutely love it. Yeah, I can't wait to just reread it. And then we're going to do another show coming up whenever we're ready called Again. And this is going to be like the perfect story for Again. I love this story so much. And it was I don't even know what word it was. It was exciting and almost like, I don't know how to describe the feeling of finding an old story that you wrote that was really good that you forgot about.
It's like, I'll tell you what it's like for me and you can tell me.
Okay.
It's like, for me, this is what it's like. So I had one of my favorite people in my life was my grandma on my mom's side. Her name was Millie. She was my Millie, and I loved her so much. And she had Alzheimer's at the end of her life. So for the last several years of her life, she was in an assisted living facility. But her kids, like, kept her house, like, just, like, in the family or whatever. But I hadn't been there in forever. Mm-hmm. And, like, I hadn't been there because even before the Alzheimer's, she was just like getting older and stuff. So we stopped having like Christmas and everything at her house, and it was like split amongst her children. So I like wasn't, and she didn't live close to us. She was like several hours away. Mm-hmm. So and then like she died, and like 6 months after she died, I went to her house, and it was like things came to my mind that I didn't even know I remembered still about it. Wow. And it was just like coming back to this place that you loved and you forgot how much you loved it.
Yeah, that. And it's also kind of like there's one bathroom in one building. Uh-huh. At my hospital, where whenever I'm in that building and I use that bathroom, it's not all the bathrooms, it's just that one bathroom. The soap in there is the same fragrance as a soap that was in the bathroom in my preschool. And when I wash my hands, it's like all of a sudden I'm like 2.5 feet tall, and you know, the whole world is taller than me and bigger than me. And I have to stand on a step stool to wash my hands. And like mm-hmm. doors are heavy and I have to reach up to open a door. It's just like I'm instantly this little kid again.
Yeah.
With little chairs. And I remember like I can't remember his name, but my preschool teacher, I think his name was like Miss, I can't remember his name. But he was a tall, bald, black guy. And I remember he reminded me of Gordon from Sesame Street. And it's just all of these like feelings and just like this very small, cozy warmth mm-hmm. feeling came around me because I had a really good childhood. But it's like that. It's like all of these things that you just forget about. And it's like, ooh, mm-hmm. I like this feeling.
Yeah. And it's just amazing. I love how a story that you come back to, it's the same way for stories that other people have written too, that I love. And I come back to see, I have books that I read seasonally, either stories of my own or stories that I've loved since I was a kid. Like, I read, it's almost time again for me to read A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh.
And it's just amazing how it gives you that kind of a sensory experience.
Yeah.
And takes absolutely. You back to a place that you loved it. And you could have forgotten if it weren't for this thing that ties you to it.
Yeah, and but I feel like there's something deeper with it too, where it's like every time I get into the story and then I remember that I wrote this, mm-hmm. it's like this big bubbling sense of pride that I don't know. It's like the same warm feeling of like hearing my kids laugh uncontrollably. It's just like everything that is good in this world.
Yeah.
And there's not a name for it. There's no name that's good enough for that feeling.
It is. It's the best feeling. There are times, and you tell me if this happens to you too, there are times when I go back and read stories and I get so engrossed in it that I forget that it's mine, especially if it's one I haven't picked up in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be so into it. I'll be like, wow, I love this. It's so good. And then when you remember that it's yours, it's like, it makes me feel like more of a, like there's so much more in me than I give myself credit for on just a regular daily basis.
Absolutely that. Totally. Totally.
It's magic.
It is magic. Ah, I love it.
Love it.
And I love that you get me.
I love that you get me.
You get me. Okay. I'm so excited. Like, we had a killer week with our goals. We did amazing things. We've already been talking for almost an hour, and we haven't even gotten to what we were supposed to do on today's show, which was our top 10 list. So why don't we set our goals for next week, and then later on this week, we'll do a bonus episode where we just do our top 10.
Sounds perfect.
Awesome. Okay, so what goals do you want to do for this week? I'm going to my trusty thingy, and I'm going to write it down.
Okay. I have got to print out.
I'm totally gonna do it.
Print out my manuscript of Broken Requiem.
Mm-hmm.
That's goal number one. I would like to, and I know that we talked about not using the word finish as much. Excuse me, but I would like to finish my lexicon for Death Singer series so that I can move forward with whatever other I hesitate to use the word outlining, but whatever other notes I want to make for it, because we're going to be starting Nano on November 1st, so I really want to spend...
so soon.
I know! So, because we're almost into October, so I really want to get the lexicon done before we head into October, where I'm going to be, you know, making more in the way of plans and notes, so I want to be past that point.
Yeah.
And...
Okay, I put finish in quotes for you.
Okay, thank you. And then I also want to work more on my podcast.
Okay. Okay, I've got your three goals here. And then my goals are start, and that's not going to be in quotes. I'm going to start editing my hard copy of volume 3.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't write and talk at the same time. Okay. I'm going to, now I said this before and I really do want to give it a whirl. I want to get in the habit of, before NaNoWriMo, of writing every day. Actual creative content writing. And I really want to get Hem done because I don't want to use Hem for Nano. And I know for a fact I'm not going to be able to do Hem and a new one for NaNoWriMo. But then I don't want to put Hem off for a month. So I'm going to try.
So you're going to try to finish Hem in October and then start a new story in November?
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but you said that, and that's what I actually want. But there is no try, because you know Yoda. So
there is no try. Only do.
There is do. So I'm going to, I'm not going to say I'm going to finish it for by the end of October, but I'm going to say write at least 500 words daily in Hem.
That's not that bad.
And I feel like I'm, if I can commit to 500, which is like two sentences, if I do that, if I get going, then I'll most likely write more. But I want to have a goal that's attainable.
I really love that.
Okay, so 500 words.
You're so ambitious. You just inspire me so much.
Oh,
because
thanks.
I'll be like, I'm going to make these little baby tiny, like mini nano, not nano as in NaNoWriMo, but nano as in like nano size.
Okay.
Goals, because they're attainable, and you're like, I'm going to write two books in the next couple weeks, and then I'm going to go out and conquer the rest of the world. And that's, I've written it down, so it's true. And I'm like, whoa, I cannot even.
I don't know why I'm like this. I think I have this sense of urgency where I don't feel like time is the bad guy, but I do feel like, I feel like things are so temporary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have, I don't want to have a whole like bag full of wishes.
Yeah.
And then realize I didn't have enough time.
I feel that.
I feel like I am my own ghost of Christmas future, and I'm haunting myself, and I'm telling myself, my future self is telling me now, do this now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I get it. I think that's partially, and I get where you are too with the urgency. I feel like a lot of that, for me at least, is like, I've put these dreams on the back burner for so long, and now it's like, I know that I could have spent the last 10, 15, 20 years working on this, and I didn't. And so now I'm just like, can't stop, won't stop. Got to keep going. Got to move.
Yeah. On. Yeah. And I mean, like with the stories that I talked about today, I started writing Days Like This. I wrote that in, what date was that again? April. Wait,
2009.
March, April. Yeah. That was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And if I can't finish or like publish that really adorable short story in 10 years, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what have I been doing? I mean, I know I've been doing all kinds of things, but still, it's just like, I think I said that before, that I want to have like the tangible things.
Mm-hmm. Like this is completed and I can hold it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there's, I'm not a productivity junkie, like people that feel like their only wealth is in like, their only value is in not being lazy. Like lazy is a rude and insulting word to me, but I also really love doing nothing, but same. I have so many things going on in my head that I still want those things in my head to be tangible.
Yeah.
I just feel like so many people in my family, especially when I was a kid, have been all ideas and no follow through. And then things are just gone. And you can't revisit an idea once someone's life is over.
Yeah.
You know, like my dad had all of these things that he said were going to happen and none of them happened.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's him that's haunting me. Instead of my future self. But you know, like there's so many times where he just said, oh, I'm gonna come and visit you, I'll see you on your birthday, and he never came. And I'm not a workaholic, but I am anti empty promises, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I'm going to write a story, I don't want it to stay on my computer for 10 years like it already has. I want it to be out somewhere. Yeah,
same. I feel it. It's that fire, man. It's like these dreams have been on the back burner for so long, and we're taking them off the back burner and setting them on fire.
These dreams go on when I close my eyes. I'm totally gonna listen to that today. That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so 500 words a day, and that's starting in October. So part of me is like, I'm gonna do it now, but the goal is every day in October, and then that will like prime me for NaNoWriMo, I think.
Yeah. Full show.
And then I kind of feel like that's enough. I feel like I need to do something else, but I don't know what. But I'm just gonna, those are the only two I'm gonna write down right now.
Okay. Dig it.
Yeah, that's it. So yay, everybody, tune in, like, share, rate,
subscribe
and stuff.
Review all of it.
All of it.
We love your friends. You.
Email us too. We want to hear from you.
Yeah. And come visit us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Okay. So we're really strong. Our strongest game is Instagram, followed by Facebook.
Our Insta strong. Yeah.
And Twitter. We both struggle so hard with Twitter because just the limiting character situation is a real bummer for both of us, for people who love words.
Well, for me, it's not like I can tweet short stuff, but it's just that like the thing that makes Twitter Twitter is that you're tweeting all day long. I don't have time for that.
Oh my god, same.
You know, like that's the thing that exhausts me. It's like, okay, I already tweeted once this week, I have to do it again. Like,
isn't that enough? What do you want from us, Twitter?
What do you want? Yeah. So
but we're on there, and
we're on there.
If we have people communicating with us on there, we definitely will answer. So follow us on all of our social media. It is at Stalled Podcast for everything. So come find us.
Yeah, come find us. Awesome. Yay.
Yay. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. And then we'll see you in a couple days for our bonus episode, which is actually our top 10 list. Woo!
Can't wait. Who doesn't love a bonus?
Bonus. Bow wow. Bow wow. Okay, bye.
Bye.